This podcast replay is brought to you by Caneswear.com. For all your Canes, Dolphins, and Heat needs, visit them at 2511 South University Drive in Davie. Free shipping with online orders over $99. Go to Caneswear.com at Miami Fanwear. That's the spot where South Florida fans shop.
All right, quickly, Manny, have you seen her on the campus of the University of Miami?
She'd be one of those few five-star recruits they've got over there, oh. She'd definitely be a five-star. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, she could be a running back. Look at those thighs.
They need a running back. They're down a couple now.
You, bro, they need a backup running back right there, boys. Speaking of backup, boy. Backup. Yeah, definitely. Yes. No doubt. All right. Let's get to our Caneswear Miami Hurricanes reports with the one and only Manny Navarro. Follow him on Twitter for those of you listening on the podcast. At Manny underscore Navarro. All right, Manny, it's NC State this week. And I, listen, man, I don't mind any swag whatsoever. You know, Tyler Hero had a lot of swag last year and didn't live up to the swag. You know what I'm saying? He lived up to it in the bubble,
right?
But he didn't live up to the swag. So Tyler Van Dyke, another Tyler, was maybe a little too confident considering you're a really bad football team. And listen, let me tell you something. I like what I saw from the kid last week. That sidearm throw and everything that he did, I was like, whoa, you know, moxie, a little juicier. How about that? The kid's finding ways to make plays. That's what I like playmakers. I like guys that adjust to what's going on, and he had to adjust by making that throw. You know what I mean? So I'm impressed with Van Dyke. I like him, but I just want you to pile on the success before you start acting like you've had that success.
Yeah, you know, that's one thing with this group, with this freshman group, you know, the guys in the last two cycles that Manny Diaz has brought in, they have a lot of confidence. There's a lot of swag, inner swag in these guys, and I think Tyler's the kind of guy who is just trying to exude that confidence, you know, to the rest of his team. He said, hey, we really were just a couple plays away from being 4-2 and not 0-2 in the conference. And that's the reality. I mean, they were.
It is.
I mean, if that kid goes through the uprights and he throws a touchdown instead of a pick, Miami's it's a different narrative right now. Granted, everybody's still killing Manny Diaz for how bad the defense looks. And, you know, nobody's certainly overlooking that. I just think, in his eyes and in a lot of the young players' eyes, that this isn't that far away from turning around in their eyes. Now, look, should you go out and say some of the things that he said publicly?
They're better than you. You gave them bulletin board material.
Right.
Come on, dude.
Right. And now you got to back it up. And if he doesn't back it up, this is going to be a lot of egg on his face. If he plays terribly and Miami gets killed tomorrow night, which very well could happen. I mean, this NC State team has been solid. They've done everything that this Miami team was supposed to do, right? I mean, they've basically their upperclassmen have lived up to the billing. Miami's haven't, and so we'll see what happens tomorrow night. But I'm not expecting a W. I'm not expecting a W the next 2 weeks. I think they fought a 2-6, and then it's about can they become bowl eligible over the last four. So, but hey, I like the fact the kid's confident. I do. I think
yeah,
that's a good sign.
I just want the confidence inside the locker room with his teammates,
right,
in practice, not out in public. Hey, what did we score, 44 on them last year? Like, you know, it's like, first of all, kid, you weren't even on the field. You know what I mean? Like,
right,
you know, and it was like those are two different teams last year, and you're making it sound like you're 5-1 right now, not 2-4. You know what I mean? You're making it sound like, you know, relax, bro, but don't put any extra pressure on yourself as it is, right? In fact, you're playing with no pressure. You are playing with no expectations. Now you're putting your own expectations. Now you're adding pressure and you're feeding bulletin board material. Man, you don't need that shit right now.
No,
that,
you don't.
That's the part of that. I just wish you would have been a little smarter, man. Because I
agree.
Like it from the kid. I like
him. Yeah. I think, you know, it's funny how tone deaf I think people at Miami are right now. I mean, just in general, Bubba Bolden did an interview with us in the middle of the week, and I don't know if this is a topic you wanted to get into eventually too, but he told us he thinks he's playing well, that he thinks he's playing good this year.
I saw that.
And then, you know, the school athletic department Twitter, you know, they're trying to tweet out positive things. and they're tweeting out how the 2001 team is supposed to be honored on Saturday, and how, and fan, I mean, you just look underneath everything that they tweet, and it's fans just ripping, fire Manny Diaz, fire Blake James, like, right. It's almost like, hey, we're 2-4, but the starting quarterback would never make you feel like they're 2-4. The starting safety would never make you feel like they're playing terribly on defense. And then the own Twitter account is just on another planet. They're just, so to me, it's just a disconnect of reality and reading the room and understanding, you know, what situation you're in.
Yeah. And I thought when Tyler was like, well, you know, coach tells us to go out there and play with confidence and go out in, it's like, yeah, dude, but maybe he's kind of telling you to, you know, do that from within, not on the outside. You know what I mean? It just,
right.
I just kind of feel like you put yourself in a really difficult position. So why do you think they'll struggle this week against NC State? Obviously NC State, what is it? 18. I think they're in the country or something. So
yeah, their defense. I mean, Miami has played two horrible defenses the last two games. I mean, Virginia was horrendous on defense, and they only gave up 28 points in Miami. And, you know, North Carolina,
and they kind of shut down Miami in that first half, actually.
Right. And the same thing happened against North Carolina. Miami's offense didn't do anything in the first half against them either. And a lot of that had to do with Tyler Van Dyke. And just, you know, the one thing we hear over and over, oh, in all these interviews, and you know, God, I have to listen to them all. But every one of these interviews is like, I don't know how many times you've noticed this as well, but how many times they say, yeah, they threw something at us we weren't expecting, nothing that we saw on film. You know, like right. Nothing, there's always this sort of like, well, we need a half to figure out what they're doing before we can adjust. And it's been that way since Manny Diaz took over. I hear that all the time, not only from players, but from the coaches. The coaches use that as an excuse. Yeah, they came out in something that we just want, like, as if everybody saved something just for Miami, right? Like, they're it's, the only team.
You know, it's funny. The Canes suck in that style. And then the Dolphins sucked the other way. They designed their first couple of plays. And their first drive is magical. And then after that, they're shit out of luck, bro. They don't know what the hell they're doing after that. So it's like the reverse. So maybe the two coaching staffs can get together and one can teach them how to start. The other one can teach them how to finish. I don't know. What the hell?
It really is sad. I was looking this up as I was listening to you interview Omar. I was on here looking up how
you
many
were looking at chili is what you well, were
that,
doing. You
that too. I was looking that up. But besides that, because as I wear my Chargers t-shirt that I ordered with Justin Herbert name on the back, eight all pros drafted, I think, since Jimmy Johnson left, and four of them were Jimmy's. I mean, four of them, eight since Don Shula left, and four of the All-Pros were Jimmy guys. So only four All-Pros since the end of the Jimmy Johnson era have been drafted by the Dolphins. Like, that's ridiculous. That is so sad.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I mean, that's how bad they are at evaluating talent for the last 25, 26 years.
And they were Jimmy's All-Pros. After that, there is none, right?
Well, maybe I'm talking about since the end of the Don Shula era, Jimmy took over. He drafted four all pros, obviously.
Right.
In that short, whatever it was, 4-year window that he was in charge. After he left, there's only been four all pros drafted by the Dolphins. Can you name them?
Holy shit. After Sam, Pat, and Jason, and Zach. Wait a minute, but they were drafted by Miami?
Drafted by the Dolphins. Four all pros have been drafted since Jimmy Johnson.
Well, X might be one, I guess.
Yeah, X is one.
X is one. Drafted by Miami. Well, wait a minute. Laremy Tunsil, did he make an all pro?
No, did not make an all pro. Okay. He was a pro bowler.
Pro bowler.
I'm talking all pro because anybody can make the Pro Bowl these years with the way how many guys get invited.
Did Minka make an all pro?
Minka made an all pro. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's two.
There was only one during the Rick Spielman, Randy Mueller, Jeff Ireland, and Dennis Hickey.
Rashad Jones?
Jake Long, the only one.
Oh, that's right, Jake Long. That's right.
Right, and the last one was Jason Sanders. So those are the four All-Pros that have been drafted since Jimmy Johnson. That's it. I mean, that just tells you everything you need to know about the Dolphins, right? I mean, what else? Right.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't go 25 years with four All-Pros, man. I'm sorry.
No. No, that's why you don't win anything. Yeah. And you only won some games at the end of the century and at the beginning of it because your defense was good enough to keep you in a whole bunch of games. Because Jimmy, JJ and Zach and Sam and Pat kept you in a bunch of games that really, yep. You know, it wasn't because your offense was anything special overall. Yeah, no, you're right. It's just, yeah, it's been such a bad run, man. It has been so bad. And I thought we were going to get out of it here, man. What can I tell you? All right, so this week, defense is the issue. Offensively, well, listen, not just offensively, just overall. The one thing I will say is that the games are actually a little bit better to watch only because some of these young guys that are now playing. I mean, watching this kid run the ball last week, and not that I have anything. I love watching Cam Harris play. He's a tough runner, a blue-collar guy. But this kid that took over has got that's gifts.
Yeah. Hope sells. Yeah. I mean, Jalen Knighton, you know, Rooster, as he's called, was right. Him and Don Chaney Jr., two of the better running backs that have come out of this area. You know, obviously, there's a lot of NFL guys from the Dade Broward area now, right? With Sony Michel and Dalvin Cook and all the guys that are playing in the league. But these two guys are of that same pedigree. The problem is Chaney's just always been hurt throughout his career, even in high school. And Rooster, you know, he was splitting the load last year with Cam. And so he didn't really get too many opportunities to shine. He's more of that Alvin Kamara, you know, catch the ball out of the backfield, explosive type guy. Chaney's more of your workhorse. And I think, you know, the running back, I'm not worried about the running back position the next couple of years. I think offensively, there are enough guys between the quarterbacks and the receivers, the Romello Brinsons, the Elijah Royals. I think they've got a ton of really good players on offense. My issue is the defense. And can you find enough guys that can tackle? And it's funny, you know, yesterday I drove over to American Heritage High School, okay, which has, you know, produced a bunch of, they got nine guys in the NFL now.
Yeah.
Just American Heritage High School. And I think it's the third most. And I was sitting there talking to Pat Surtain for a while about tackling. I'm like, why is it so bad? And he just seems to think that in general, because it's not practiced anymore.
You know, no practice. Yeah.
There's no practice. And so these guys and there's just such a reluctance to just get dirty. It's like, well, I'm just going to shove this guy. He'll fall. You know, there's no pride in really hitting a guy and tackling him. They want to hit him to get the big highlight hit. But in terms of, like, you know, just getting the job done, there's so many guys. And yet you look at the freshmen that were on the field last week, James Williams, when he wasn't getting penalized. I mean, he was getting shot out of a cannon and hitting guys and wrapping them up. Cam Kitchens, the other safety, was hitting guys, wrapping them up. Leonard Taylor was hitting guys, wrapping them up. So the younger guys are better tacklers than the older guys. And so that's why if you're going to take a positive out of anything, it's like, well, at least the future doesn't look so shitty, right? At least the guys that are going to be here the next couple of years know what they're doing. Can we get more of them on the field? And I think we are. I think that's what's going to happen over the second half of the season. You're going to see more and more. And if you read my story in The Athletic, I actually charted, I think there's 12 guys here that have played more than 70 snaps so far for Miami, and you know, they're graded among the higher guys on the team by Pro Football Focus. And a lot of it is they're just not missing tackles, they're not making as many mistakes as the older guys are. So,
well, let's hope so. Let's hope it improves, man, because I mean, the kids are still playing hard. I believe Tyler when he said, hey, man, we're all still in this together, and you see it out on the field. Just like the Dolphins, as bad as it's been, I haven't really seen the team quit overall on the coach yet. Now, hey, it could happen down the line. And I also wonder, you know, for these young guys, if the losing continues, do they decide to transfer and go somewhere else? Since they put a lot of good film out there now, people will pick them up right away, that kind of stuff. So, you know, I do worry about that, but I will say this, that's what I'm looking at now. That's what I found myself looking at this past week, is I was looking at what's in the future now, because obviously the present is done. You're not really accomplishing anything this year anyway. So let's just move on and see what you've got for the future. What are you working on over in The Athletic so folks can check you out, my brother?
Well, I was going to do a story on American Heritage, just the way that that program, you know, St. Thomas Aquinas for so many years was the premier right. high school down here, and they still are. They still produce the most NFL players, the second most behind IMG Academy, but American Heritage is third nationally now in terms of NFL guys in the league. And it's kind of a great little story of just, you know, this woman who's the athletic director there, Karen Stearns. She was a cheerleading coach for many, many years. They move her over. She replaced Jeff Dellenbach, who was former Dolphin.
I know. Who was
the AD there. And as soon as she came in, she promotes Mike Rumpf to head coach. And all of a sudden now they've got 9 guys in the NFL. They've got a bunch of other top kids around the country college-wise. That they're going to be draft picks in the years to come. And it's kind of like this overnight, you know, sensation where now they're up there with St. Thomas Aquinas in terms of producing great players. So that's kind of one of the local stories. And then, of course, I'll be at the game tomorrow night and I'll be writing off of that and whatever happens. I have a midseason report on the Hurricanes that's up on The Athletic right now, where I did a ton of sort of analysis and perspective and whatnot. And there's a podcast that I put out, I think Tuesday or Wednesday night, Wednesday it came out. The Wide Right podcast. So there's plenty of content on there to read, and more to come here as this season unfolds. The one thing I'll say with Manny Diaz and Blake James, a couple things that I've heard. One, I've heard from a couple people now that they think Blake will be out at the end of the year. At that point, what does that mean for Manny Diaz? I don't know. But I've heard that from a couple of different people who are around the program and in different ways, agents, et cetera, people that would speak to higher ups about what's going on out there. I know parents are nervous, you know, because they like Manny Diaz. They like the coaching staff. And the fact that Blake James has said nothing to sort of calm their nerves publicly makes them feel like, okay, this is a tense situation. So we may see kids jump the gun and go somewhere else at some point here. As you said, I think there's just nervousness in general among the parents.
By the way, what is the name of the athletic director at American Heritage?
Karen Stearns. Karen
Stearns, right? Okay. Do me a favor, dude. I got another story for you.
Go ahead.
Fucking fire Blake James and hire her.
Well,
fuck, dude.
I know.
And we got a better AD at American Heritage than we do at the University of Miami.
Hey, she's done a great job, man.
I know American Heritage people are now going to get pissed off at me. Like, no, don't be taking away our woman. But right. Damn right. Let's go. Hire her at the University of Miami. She obviously cares about sports. Maybe she does. Can fight with the president and straighten his ass out.
They've done an amazing job, man. And that school, let me tell you, everybody talks about the facilities at St. Thomas Aquinas. They just built a $28 million facility. The owner of the school put all this money in to build them an indoor gym and brand new locker room, brand new weight room. And I mean, the kids, if you're a kid, a local kid, and you want to make it, you want to go to American Heritage, right? You want the financial aid, whatever they're going to offer to get you in there and to help get you to the next level. Because listen, every one of those kids, they can't graduate from American Heritage without being fully qualified for college. That's the requirement. They will not pass you as a high school graduate unless you're fully qualified for college. That's a minimum that they make.
Karen Stearns. Come on, man.
From a cheerleading coach, man. A cheerleading coach who worked in the compliance office to athletic director. Great story.
She's the Andy Ellisberg of American Heritage.
She is. Doing a great job.
Basically. I mean, come on. Let's go. We have the answer to straightening out the University of Miami football program's problems. Karen Stearns, it's right there, bro, for the taking. Let's go hire this woman. She's good.
She is.
Manny, appreciate you, my brother. We'll catch up on Tuesday. Let's hope the boys win on Saturday, my friend. You be good.
All right, brother. Take care.
There you go. Follow him on Twitter at @Manny_Navarro and catch his work at The Athletic. Better yet, subscribe and support him and support our local journalists. That's our Caneswear Miami Hurricanes report.